The title of this year is The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, Kiddush Hashem or Suicide. On April 19, 1943, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising began after German troops and police entered the ghetto to deport its surviving inhabitants. This was the largest uprising by Jews during World War II and the first significant urban revolt against the German occupation in Europe. However, by May 16, 1943, the Germans had crushed the uprising and deported surviving ghetto residents to concentration camps and killing centers. What was the background to this uprising? The Warsaw Ghetto was the largest Jewish ghetto in German-occupied Europe. It was established in October of 1940 and was sealed in November. At that point, it housed approximately 400,000 Jews. From July 22 to September 12, 1942, German SS and police units carried out mass deportations from the Warsaw Ghetto to the Treblinka death camp. Germans deported approximately 265,000 Jews at that time, and they killed approximately 35,000 Jews inside the ghetto at that time. By early 1942, the surviving Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto numbered 70,000 to 80,000 individuals. The deportations were disguised as a resettlement operation, but by late summer 1942, it was clear to many ghetto inhabitants that deportations from the ghetto meant almost certain death. In response to these deportations, several Jewish underground organizations banded together on July 28, 1942, and they created an armed self-defense unit known as the Jewish Combat Organization, and there were about approximately 200 members at the time of its formation. A second force was organized by the right-wing revisionist Zionist movement, especially its youth group, Beitar, and it was called the Jewish Military Union. At the time of the uprising, a total of 750 fighters, in both of their ranks. There were efforts in the summer to contact the Polish military underground movement, and in October, the Jewish Combat Organization managed to obtain some small weapons, mostly pistols and explosives. In January of 1943, German SS and police units returned to the Warsaw Ghetto to resume mass deportations. They planned to send the remaining ghetto Jews to forced labor camps in the Lublin district of the general government. Small groups of Jewish fighters, armed with pistols, infiltrated the column of Jews being forced to the Umschlagplatz, the transfer point, and the group broke ranks and fought their German escorts. Most Jewish fighters died in the battle, but Jews who were arranged in the columns managed to escape. Jewish resistance leaders encouraged fellow ghetto inhabitants to defy deportation orders and hide from the Germans. Seizing only 5,000 to 6,500 ghetto residents, Germans suspended further deportations on January 21st. Encouraged by the success of the resistance, people in the ghetto began to construct subterranean bunkers and shelters, and they prepared for an uprising should the Germans attempt a final deportation of the remaining Jews from the ghetto. On April 9, 1943, the Jews of the Warsaw Ghetto began their final act of armed resistance against the Germans. The Jewish Combat Organization had received advance warning of a final deportation action planned by the Germans, and in response, the Jewish Combat Organization warned residents of the ghetto to retreat to their hiding places or bunkers. At that time, the greatest Torah leader of the Warsaw Ghetto was Rabbi Menachem Zemba. Rabbi Menachem Zemba was born in 1883 in the Praga district of Warsaw. From a young age, he was considered an outstanding expert on Torah. He lost his father at the age of 9. He was brought up by his grandfather, who encouraged him to go to the Tzaddik of Ger, of Aryeh Leib Alter. After getting married, he moved into his father-in-law's house, which was also in the Praga district of Warsaw. And in 1935, Rabbi Menachem Zemba was elected chief rabbi of Warsaw. He was one of the greatest minds of his generation. He had over 10,000 pages of Chidushei Torah. In the winter of 1940, he was arrested by the Germans, who tortured him to force him to disclose information about the whereabouts of wealthy Jews. Rabbi Zemba refused to give any details, and he was badly beaten. Then the Germans went to his house, where a group of Jews gathered who planned to collect money for a ransom, thanks to which they were to release the rabbi. The Germans accepted the money and they released the prisoner. Rabbi Zemba then moved from one place residence to another until the ghetto was established. By the time of the uprising, Rabbi Zemba was the only prominent rabbi to maintain his position in Warsaw. He worked to help poor and starving people in the ghetto, and he advised on many other activities. Matters of halacha were placed before him to decide. During the deportations, his wife and daughters were sent to Treblinka. Broken by the capture of his family, Rabbi Menachem Zemba immersed himself in Torah study. To avoid deportation, he was officially registered as a clerk in the archives department of the Judenrat. While working there, he wrote a book on Kiddush Hashem, according to the Rambam and the Ravid. On Rosh Hashanah of 1942, prayers were arranged at his apartment. On Sukkos, he managed to build a small sukkah by busting open the roof of his apartment, which thousands of Jews passed to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. On the eve of the holiday, he was sent one of the three esrogim that had been smuggled to Warsaw from Switzerland. Holiday prayers were held in his apartment, and hundreds of Jews came during the holiday to recite brachos in the Arba Minim. This angered some of the neighbors who were members of the Jewish police, and Rav Menachem Zemba was imprisoned. He was released on condition that he move immediately. During a meeting at his apartment the last day of Hanukkah, 1942 to 1943, the Ezra's Torah Society was established to aid rabbis and yeshiva students who had arrived from villages surrounding Warsaw in winter of 1942, and Rabbi Zemba was chosen as the head of the society, and money was raised to provide for those learning Torah. After Hanukkah, information was received and an action to remove the inhabitants of his building, and he was moved. A visa for Paraguay was sent to Rabbi Menachem Zemba from Switzerland, but he declined to use it. On another occasion, he and two other rabbinic leaders were offered the chance to escape with the help of Catholic clergy, but they refused to abandon the Jews of the ghetto. And Rabbi Menachem Zemba dealt with the following question. Is the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising an act of Kiddush Hashem or an act of suicide? This was an issue that he addressed, and there is some controversy as to what he believed. Going against an enemy like the Nazis, absent a miracle, will result in defeat. Is it better to try to live as long as possible or to attack and defy the enemy? And there are opposite models in our Jewish history. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, realizing that all was lost in the great war against the Romans, escaped from Yerushalayim to try to save something. And according to the Talmud Bavli, according to the Babylonian Talmud, he successfully saved the yeshiva at Yavne, the family of Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Tzadok. On the other hand, we know about the fighters of Masada, who fought to the death against the Romans and in fact committed suicide, according to one report, rather than surrender. We know of the biblical king Chizkiyahu, who resisted Sanherib rather than submit, and he was miraculously saved when, according to the Navi, an angel of Hashem smote 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Are you ever permitted to commit suicide? We know that it's a cardinal rule in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that you are required to die rather than commit one of the three cardinal sins. And there even is a discussion amongst the Rishonim of whether you're allowed to commit suicide rather than submit to Avodah Zarah. There's a discussion in the Beis Yosef and Siman Kuf Nun Zayin. And there's even opinion among the Bali Tosfos that you're even allowed to kill a child during religious persecution. What was the concern? Because during the Crusades, so when the enemy saw, the Crusaders saw that Jews were killing themselves rather than submit to, or were willing to die rather than submit to conversion, to Catholicism, so they would kill the parents and then convert the children. So to avoid that, parents were willing to kill their children and then commit suicide rather than have their children convert themselves. In the Beis Yosef and Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, they tell a story about one rabbi who killed many children at a time of religious persecution because he was afraid that the children would be converted. And a second rabbi was with him and got upset against the first rabbi. And he called him a murderer. And the first rabbi didn't care. He thought he was saving the children's spiritual lives. And the second rabbi said, if I'm correct, that this rabbi who killed all these children should be killed in an unusual fashion. And indeed he was. And in fact, shortly afterwards, the decree to convert was canceled. And if the first rabbi hadn't shechted these children, the Lashon in The Beis Yosef was v'im lo shachat osam. Had the first rabbi not shachted these children, then they might have been saved, and they wouldn't have been killed. So that's really the question that the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto were facing. Do you take a stand against the German army or against the SS? It's almost certain death. Or do you hope that perhaps somehow if they wait long enough, maybe the tide will turn, something will happen, they'll be saved? Again, they're not technically committing suicide, but they're going on a suicide mission. So what does Rav Menachem Zemba have to say about this? So there is a Dr. Hillel Seidman, who was a Jewish journalist, in 1937 he was appointed the director of the archives of the Warsaw Jewish community, and he continued to occupy this position in the ghetto. As a senior official of the Jewish Community Council, he was able to help many Jews during the German occupation. A short time before the outbreak of the ghetto revolt, he was arrested by the Gestapo and thrown into Warsaw's Paviak prison. Later, he was transferred together with other Jews who, like him, had been able to provide themselves with foreign citizen papers to camps in France, and he was held there until the liberation of France in 1944. Now, Dr. Seidman wrote a diary of the Warsaw Ghetto, which was published, and there is a passage in which Rav Menachem Zemda says, clearly stated his position about the legitimacy of the uprising. And in Hebrew, he says the following: Azamar Rav Menachem Zemda b'kovet rosh. Then Rav Menachem Zemda said this with a heavy, with a sense of heaviness, a weightiness. Yesh drachim shonos l'kiddush Hashem. There are different paths to kiddush Hashem. Ilu ichrichu kayom et ha-Yehudim lishmad. Had the enemies forced the Jews today to apostasy, to convert to Christianity, and they could be saved through converting to Christianity, k'mo b'Sfarad or b'shag zeros tatnav, like in Spain, sometimes the Jews were, in time of Spain, when there was religious persecution, or during the Crusades, Haisa, Misa Seder Kishel Atzmab, then our death by itself, Bechinat Kiddush Hashem, then dying rather than converting to Christianity would be an act of Kiddush Hashem. Akayom Azah, Derech HaYichida L'Kadeis Et Hashem, He Hitnagdgut Mizuyenet Befor. However, now, today, the singular path to sanctify God's name is an active armed struggle, an active armed resistance. And the Rav and Dr. Seidman writes, "Akol makshivim mitoch yirat hakavod lidvarav shel Rav HaGaon." Everyone was listening because of the fear, the reverence, and the great honor to the words of this great rabbi. "Tumiyak feida otefet at nochachim." There's a great silence that enwrapped everyone around. "Havikuchim chadlu." All the discussion stopped. There's discussion. Should we? Is it right? Is it not right? Afsu chilukim chilukei adat hapsak nechratz. There was no more discussion, no more different opinions. The ruling was determinative, that it is a kiddush Hashem to fight the Germans. There's another article by Hatzofer that's written. It was written in Hatzofer magazine. It's in Eretz Yisrael, October 1946, by Leibish Feingold. And he writes, Rav Menachem Nizdazeh Begufo, he was shaking in his body. And he writes, he invites some people, and he says, Lo kedarchei Kiddush Hashem lifnim, that the way of Kiddush Hashem is not like I was before, ki Kiddush Hashem kayom, like the Kiddush Hashem of today. Lefi halacha ani mitkaveh, I'm referring to halacha. B'shar shenitna efsharut liyehudi, liyot lo yehudi, dai hayalo lekadesh Hashem, that when there's a possibility for a Jew to cease becoming a Jew, to become a non-Jew, then to be Mekadesh Hashem meant to do a Kiddush Hashem is that remaining a Jew. However, Kishein Toelet Behamarat Hadad, when there's no purpose in changing your religion, Kishein Beracher, when there's no other choice, like now, if a Jew converts to Christianity, the Germans will still kill him. Azai harigatol shel Yehudi al yoto Yehudi Ein ba mikshum kiddushem. In this situation, that the killing of a Jew because he's a Jew, that's not an act of kiddush Hashem, because it doesn't make a difference if we convert or not. Hayom ein kiddush Hashem ela b'mered mizuyan. Today, the only kiddush Hashem is with active rebellion. There's an article by Rehuda Grodno Gershuni where he broadens this position. Rehuda Grodno Gershuni lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and he wrote that this type of kiddush Hashem is lishmor al kavod ha'uma, to preserve the honor of the nation. In a situation where there's no hope, and they're just killing Jews for no other reason than they're Jewish, and even if they convert, they're going to kill the Jews, that you are allowed to, and it's a mitzvah, it's a kiddush Hashem, to take it to the enemy, even to go on a suicide mission. And he cites the Dina story when the brothers killed Shechem. That was a kavod for the kavod, the honor of the family of Yaakov. Under normal circumstances, Shimon and Levi should have died when they attacked the city of Shechem. He says it's the same premise as Masada, the same premise as Shaul HaMelech killing himself, when it was going to cause a lack of kavod to the nation. The story of the 400 children in Maseches Gittin who are willing to drown rather than being shipped away for immoral purposes. And he says that this is what it means, Kiddush Hashem, for the sake of the nation. And after Feingold came out with his article, Not So Fair, shortly after, a few years later, there was also Dr. Yisrael Elfenbein, also came out with an article that Rabbi Menachem Zemba, the Gadol, the tremendous Torah leader, in the Warsaw Ghetto, was in favor of the rebellion. Not in 1950, Rav Simcha Elberg wrote an article where he had a different view. He was a Talmud, he was a student of Rabbi Nachum Zemba. He received smicha from him. In 1939, he was able to flee from Warsaw, eventually to the Mir Yeshiva. He said, anyone who thinks that Rabbi Nachum Zemba was one of the leaders of the rebellion doesn't know really who Rabbi Nachum Zemba was. He writes, referring to Dr. Elfenbaum, he says, Lu yadatim Dr. Elfenbaum, es Rav Menachem l'chol ha'pachot mirachok. Had Dr. Elfenbaum known Rav Menachem Zemba, even at the very least from the distance, he has kvar day lechem l'das, mamo dalusa barachat baharatchem et ishiyuto shel Menachem. Then they would see how poorly he understood the essence of Rav Menachem Zemba. And Rav Simcha Elberg said that it can't be that Rav Menachem Zemba was in favor of the revolt. Couldn't be. However, it makes sense that Rabbi Elberg thought what he thought about Rav Menachem Zemba, because that was likely his view at the beginning of the war. In the beginning of the war, there was a feeling that you should do what you need to do to stay alive. Therefore, you shouldn't go on a suicide mission. However, after realizing that the situation was hopeless, after the summer of 1942, it is conceivable that his position changed. Some have suggested that the secular state of Israel at the time, in 1950, only prized, at least the founders of the state, only prized physical strength and claimed that the Jews in Europe were weak, going like sheep to the slaughter in Europe. And people like Rabbi Elberg wanted to refute that and wanted to assert that just this physical strength of rebellion is not real strength. Real strength is spiritual strength, and therefore can't be. Therefore, he wants to diminish potentially this idea of a great rabbi pointing out that or being in favor of this type of rebellion. He wants to focus on spiritual strength. Rav Yosef Henkin, who was the posek in America at the time, felt that the revolt would cause greater fury by the enemy and might not be a good thing. It's an interesting question. If by the Jews going on the taking the taking whatever weapons they have and going against the great German army, is that good for the Jews? Will that perhaps embolden other Jews to perhaps take up resistance, or maybe cause the Germans to slow down in their attempt to annihilate the Jews? Or will that simply only cause greater fury by the enemy and cause even more deaths? So Rav Henkin felt that it wasn't a smart thing. Did this story empower perhaps Israelis, or to be Israelis, to fight and to be willing to fight against their Arab attackers when the state was formed, and to willing to not surrender? And were they inspired by what the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto did in order to support their cause and to say, we're going to fight and care about the last inch in Eretz Yisrael and fight as much as we can? Maybe. But what's clear is that Rabbi Menachem Zemba, even though there's some controversy, it's clear from eyewitnesses, from reports, that he was someone who was in favor of the Warsaw Ghetto uprising. On Shabbos of April 24th, the flames of the ghetto were destroyed and burned by the Nazis, reached the street where Rabbi Menachem Zemba was hiding. He tried to flee across the street to another building, but he was shot dead in the attempt. That evening, under the cover of night, his body was found and buried in the courtyard of the house where he was. And in 1958, his grave was found and his remains were transported to Yerushalayim and buried in Har HaMnuchot, the cemetery. On May 8, 1943, German forces succeeded in seizing the headquarters of the Jewish Combat Organization at 18 Miller Street. And on May 16th, SS leader Jürgen Stroop announced that the former Jewish quarter in Warsaw is no more. Approximately, according to many reports, approximately 13,000 Jews were killed, and there were 110 German casualties, including 17 killed. Of the remaining approximately 50,000 residents, almost all were captured and shipped to the death camps of Treblinka and Majdanek. It seems that the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising ushered in a new era for Kiddush Hashem for Jews. The Jewish blood is no longer free, and I'm willing to give up my life to assert that principle. Rabbi Zemba calibrated the parameters of Jewish law in the face of the terrifying reality of the Shoah. He cited halacha to respond to a new situation in the history of the Jewish people. His understanding of Jewish law, of halacha in the case of martyrdom, was molded by the terrible word of death, suffering, and murder. And he felt that martyrdom was an inadequate response in the face of Nazi genocide, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu and God demanded a new response. It was at this time that the definition of Kiddush Hashem was molded and reshaped for this new time in Jewish history. And a Torah Jew believes in both physical heroism and spiritual heroism. Those who maintained their faith, and those like Rav Menachem Zemba who sacrificed to have a sukkah in the middle of Warsaw Ghetto. We don't believe only in one or in the other. We believe in both. Rav Menachem Zemba believes in both. And he taught us, in the most tragic and horrific of circumstances, that we have a responsibility to commit ourselves to both types of gevura, both physical and spiritual gevura.